The war in Ukraine entered an uncomfortable new chapter this week when Turkey summoned Ukraine's ambassador after drone strikes hit Turkish cargo ships. That development is significant for reasons that go well beyond a bilateral diplomatic spat. Turkey is a NATO member, Ukraine is a NATO aspirant. And Turkish cargo vessels operating in the Black Sea or potentially approaching Ukrainian-controlled areas being struck by Ukrainian drones represents exactly the kind of incident that NATO planners have nightmares about. Ankara has been walking an extraordinarily careful line throughout this conflict, maintaining trade relations with Russia, supplying Bayraktar drones to Ukraine, and positioning itself as an indispensable mediator. A Ukrainian strike on Turkish ships ruptures all three of those relationships simultaneously.
The geometry of this is complicated, Marcus. Turkish cargo shipping in the Black Sea region has continued operating under a kind of informal immunity that both sides had, until now, largely respected. If Ukraine struck those vessels, and Kyiv has not formally acknowledged the strikes, it suggests either that Ukrainian drone operators made a targeting error, which is possible given the increasing autonomy of strike drone systems, or that Kyiv made a deliberate calculation that Turkish shipping was being used in ways that supported Russian logistics. Neither explanation is comfortable for the NATO alliance.
And it lands at exactly the moment when Turkey's relationship with Israel is already at a breaking point. Ankara this week compared Israel to a Nazi propaganda machine. That is not a diplomatic grumble, that is an official comparison to the Third Reich, as the feud between Erdogan and the Netanyahu government intensifies. Turkey has been one of the loudest voices calling for international action on Gaza, and the rhetoric has been escalating for months. What we are seeing is Turkey simultaneously in diplomatic conflict with Ukraine, with Israel, and managing a delicate détente with Russia, while remaining a member of an alliance that is nominally united.
Erdogan has proven remarkably durable in these contradictions. He has been playing multiple sides for years and managing to extract concessions from each. But the Nazi comparison targeting Israel carries a specific charge that goes beyond ordinary diplomatic friction. It evokes the show directly. And that is the kind of language that European NATO members, many of whom have Holocaust memory laws, cannot simply absorb quietly. It raises the question of whether Turkey's position within NATO is becoming genuinely untenable, or whether everyone will once again decide that Turkey's geographic position, controlling the Bosphorus, bordering Syria, Georgia, and Iraq, is simply too important to risk the relationship over rhetoric.
Estonia's intelligence chief added another dimension to the Eastern European picture this week. Kaupo Raasen, who heads one of the most credible signals intelligence agencies in Europe precisely because Estonia has spent decades studying its former occupier, said that Russia could collapse overnight. His framing was specific. Discontent with the war is growing at every level of Russian society, from ordinary citizens to oligarchs. Now, Western analysts have been predicting Russian internal instability for 4 years and have often been wrong about the timeline. But Raasen's warning deserves attention because Estonian intelligence has a track record of being right earlier than their larger counterparts.
What makes this assessment different from previous collapse predictions is the detail about oligarchs. The elite accommodation with Putin has always been the structural load-bearing wall of his system. If that accommodation is fraying, if the people who benefit most from the existing order are calculating that a transition might serve their interests better than indefinite war, then you are looking at a different kind of instability than popular protest, which the Kremlin has proven adept at suppressing. Elite defection is structurally harder to police.
Putin chose this week to characterize the war in Ukraine using an orca versus polar bear metaphor, which on the surface sounds almost whimsical. But it is worth parsing. Orcas are apex predators that hunt in coordinated packs, prey on animals much larger than individual orcas, and attack vulnerable points like the underbelly. If Putin is casting Russia as the orca in this metaphor, he is framing Ukraine, or perhaps NATO, as a seemingly powerful but ultimately vulnerable polar bear. The choice of metaphor suggests a man who is still internally confident about the trajectory of the conflict, even as Estonia's spy chief says the opposite.
Or he is trying to project confidence to an audience that no longer fully believes the official narrative. The gap between the metaphor Putin uses publicly and what Raasen says is happening privately within Russian society is exactly the kind of gap that historically precedes rapid, destabilizing change.